Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy.
Great to have your company for another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show, brought to you by Extra Hop, stops breaches 84% faster. I'm Louise Ransom, joined by Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyle, Sean Maloney. Guys, we're at TG Milner at Eastwood this week. Pretty good Chinese at this joint as well.
Amongst other things, some great players have obviously played here at TG Milner over the years.
Like favourite Eastwood player, quick.
Marty Roebuck.
Tim Donnelly.
Used to have the socks down around his ankles.
Ben Robinson.
Nick White,
and they're going well at the moment, the Woodies. They'll play this weekend against East in Sydney Shoot Shield Elimination Finals. So they are trucking along nicely under Benny Batcher, a guy that you know well.
Yes, know well. He was in the Shoot Shield season that I did back for the ABC. He was playing then, so it's kind of a,
Back in the day, and I think through all the age group stuff.
Could play.
Famous story about Ben Batcher avoiding Mad Monday at the Brumbies once.
No.
Just literally hid from him for like 4 hours. The bus chasing around Canberra. But on another matter,
previously he's one of my favourite players, now the lowest. I hope he loses this weekend.
What's with VV, Sean?
Well, some big news coming. I'm not sure which camera to look at. I'm so excited about it. There's three of them here to look at. But the green grenade's up on deck here, ready to go. And some big news coming in weeks ahead.
We look forward to it.
They taste delicious. Green grenade. Ain't nothing better. What about the weekend? How good was it?
So good. We're all feeling really optimistic as Aussie rugby fans after that performance. Everyone's got a little, you know, bounce
in the step.
Totally, exactly. It's good. What got you guys over the weekend?
Drew, you go.
Well, you know what got me? Captain Michael Hooper, 100th test. I mean, huge achievement. Would have been the quickest had he...
COVID, I think.
Sat one out through
World Cup last year,
and that he would have had the 100
and
in the quickest, but I think it's like he's now in terms of age. But still, regardless, a huge achievement to have done what he's done in such a short period of time, and his leadership and the way he's playing, he just keeps getting better. So well done, Hoops.
Go Hoops.
Look, what got me, we're going to talk a lot about Test Footy Run. Jump in to Shoot Shield quickly. So Gordon Minor Premiers.
Here we go.
Four Rats players retired on the weekend.
Tell
there was
me when
Sam
you
Ward, Felcher, there was Josh Holmes. Anyone else?
There was four.
Yeah, anyway, Darren Coleman, Gordon coach.
Sammy Ward went and got on the beers
with the Rats players on Sunday. I don't know if that's play on with the Gordon players. Maybe there's a bit of turmoil in Camp Gordon. Maybe I'm just saying that because Remy complaining this week.
Well, how would you feel as your head coach over the Giltinis if he, after a game, instead of getting on the Giltinis, went and had...
A Gilgroni.
Gilgroni.
There you go. Great point you make, Drew. Let's see how it unfolds this week.
I reckon knuckles.
Maybe it's not all happy
side
in the camp of Gordon at the moment.
There was almost knuckle at the place I watched the test match on Sunday afternoon. You said that we're going to get into a deep dive in just a second, but an afternoon test match with kids running around, coming in and out of the game,
that
with your mate
so
barbecue
much
on, my mate Goldie's joint. It was all time, just like so dialed into it. It was epic.
Really?
And I know that those... Did you crack a gag?
I just said the kids running around would have annoyed me. I actually watched the test by myself.
I
wanted to listen to it. I wanted to be engaged.
If they weren't like right on top of things, they were out. Get out of here. I don't need you in here.
Well, I had to swap between two TVs because of the kids in my house, so they weren't all that convenient. But
you do have 18 kids, though. But what I love is that those scenes would have been replicated all around Australia, and on the other side, we had huge ratings, huge interest, back page on Monday.
Do you think Sunday test can stay?
Oh God! Even if it's just Saturday tests, I'd be happy with those. But the
daytime.
I know the commercial realities of it mean that it'll never happen. But God,
it
was good.
Like you say, Apparently, across all networks, it
was a great afternoon. Yep.
Yeah. And there's a bit more space then, you know, Saturday afternoon so
congested.
Congested.
Yeah, you've got a bit more time to celebrate afterwards.
It reminded me a little bit, very quickly, of how things must play out in the USA with the NFL on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Everyone comes together, has a barbecue, and it's an event.
Premier League, they play any day.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. Lou?
Michael Checker, sitting by his lonesome in a coaching box at Leichhardt Oval. We know he's a consultant for the Argentinian side while they're out here. But, yeah, just on Twitter, the Pumas put it out. Just looks a little bit lonely. Sitting there in a little hat and...
He spent a lot of time in bubbles this year. He's been with the Roosters bubble. Yeah. He's jumped out of that to join the Argentinians. But he has to stay in a separate one to the team, obviously, because... Half the side probably has COVID.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say, he probably didn't have COVID.
Is that allowed to be here?
I'd be sitting on my own if the Argentina was there. They're just for 14 days, Sean.
And they do that double kissing. Yeah. I've got a couple of...
They're tight.
Actually, they're involved in that team.
Oh, right there.
A bit on the breath. So, sometimes, just got to stay away.
Hey, remember that time we were commentating at Leichhardt Oval and you Uber Eats the pizza to the commentary box?
You said it couldn't be done, Sean.
One of the great days.
The commentary box.
Legit.
No, you didn't share it.
Yeah. Well, he just let himself
he said it couldn't be done. Uber Eats straight up the top.
Yeah. Hell of a day.
Well, how good we get to talk about Bledisloe, rocks and diamonds. Guys, let's start with the sparkly things first. We'll talk diamonds.
Tell you who was sparkling on the weekend was Filippo Dungunu. Mm. I mean, I know it was his first test, but he was picked on form and he brained it. Like, I just thought he was a threat every time he got the ball. He defended really well. He just looks like a guy that straight away... Well, I mean, to be fair as well, the other debutants did as well. Like, they all just looked so comfortable. And that was probably my concern going in. Normally, you have concerns over one debutant, whether they're going to actually make that step up into that next level. And all of these guys did. So hats off to them. But Filippo Dungunu just... I mean, I'm happy I'm not... defending someone X-factor every time
carry,
he gets a ball.
He was knocking blokes. He was almost putting fellas on their backside.
Or beating them clean
with every single touch.
The other
touch.
Thing he's got rugby pace. Like, he's got top-end speed, but he's got rugby pace. Like, in literally one or two paces, like, or strides, he's already quite close to his top-end speed. And you just don't get that too often.
What I really liked was the fact that those debutants made their debut starting. Mm-hmm. Like, so many of us have made their debut off the bench, and you sit there like a nervous wreck for 40, 50, 60, 70 minutes. They got to start and just got all out of the system. But my diamond was actually Nick White. Like, I spent a lot of time in Super Rugby AU talking about how good Tate McDermott was, and also a big fan of Jake Gordon. Like, I thought he's clearly a really quality halfback. But the fact that they didn't go with Tate and they went with Jake on the bench.
Yes.
It just highlighted the value of an experienced number nine who has a good running game, a great passing game, and more importantly, despite one of his box kicks coming back to himself because of the wind over there, he's got a very good kicking game. So I just didn't see enough of Whitey this year to appreciate him, but he was outstanding.
Appreciated experience in those key areas, 9, 10, 12.
Yeah.
Probably the three of our most experienced players on the field, barring your James Slippers and a couple others up front. But they valued that experience in those key areas, the communication areas, the driving around the team, and it clearly worked for them.
Was it Nick White's best game in a Wallaby jumper?
He's had some good ones.
Do you know the other one that he shone in? 2015, it's remarkable. It was the first Bledisloe 2015 when he scored the closing try.
But he was off the bench that game, I believe.
But he came on and basically won the game for them.
Probably his best starting game.
The one in South Africa last year before the World Cup was big.
Yeah. Remember? You know what? Here's the thing. Like, we probably just, because he's been overseas and we haven't seen him that much, and it's a really good example of how players get better over time if you give him enough time. And he's always been good, don't get me wrong. He's always been a quality footy player. But he's gone to good clubs. He's been at a successful Exeter for three or four seasons.
Yeah.
He's just coming back, and we're going to get the best years out of him. So as much as we've got Jake and we've got Tate there, you need three good halfbacks. You need one really good halfback sitting in the stand in their suit if you're going to be good in test footy.
So now 9, 10, 12 are all mid-20s and up.
Yep.
Which is not something that we've seen, I don't think, through that call in quite a while.
Well, we haven't had the same 9, 10, 12 for a long time, so let's see how they stick with it.
Oh, it was so good. My diamonds, and it was nice having a game plan that they stuck to, which I thought was terrific.
Easily pleased.
If you seriously contrast that with what happened in the last game that we saw them play in the World Cup last year, where it was helter-skelter and everyone was kind of going, what's happening here? There was so much purpose around what they did on the weekend. They stuck to it and they almost jagged the result. We forget that they came back from 13-3 down.
Yeah, as much as people take the piss out of the World Cup and no game plan, like,
taking the piss.
No, I don't think they stuck to a game plan over there. Like, all the stuff they meant, they didn't execute it properly in Japan.
Right,
that was the difference. Like,
first half against England, they made four clean line breaks and couldn't finish. And then Poe throws that intercept and they run the length.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those small margins are the difference. And that's what New Zealand did on the weekend. Australia were putting them under pressure early. Mm. And then the first moment the All Blacks got an opportunity, they score that try. So it's just about execution. And they stuck at it for longer periods, I think, on Sunday just gone, and that's what like you say, they had a game plan, they committed to it, they stuck to it, and they didn't deviate from it if it wasn't working, and because at times it wasn't when they're 13-3 down, but they stuck at it, like you say,
and then they get dividends. Those little results on the other side.
What about your rock, big fella?
No, can I have another diamond?
Yeah,
I
got
two diamonds. Taniela Tupou.
Yeah,
he just continues to wow.
Yeah,
he still got away two penalties on his own ball though.
I know that was just over enthusiasm.
Yeah, but at the same time,
execution.
I also think one of those, like, you go, he didn't do anything to the break.
Would you play it on?
If you want to be really pedantic at every attack in ruck, you can get someone. So irony is, we gave away 14 penalties, 8 on our own ball. That's rubbish from the referee. Like, if you want to ruin a game of rugby, start penalising the team with possession.
Yeah, okay. Could you also put that down to maybe Tenny Allen not being able to sleep in a tent before the test match?
Yeah, he didn't get his car and truck over there, did he?
He hasn't been able to stick to his routine, because routines are important.
He's had that comfy bed in the hotel instead.
He's on top of the Hilux over there.
He's got his bed sheets. He's made a couple of hours. He's laying on the floor.
And am I right in saying it was almost a plan to have him stand a number of times in that that inside channel at 10, where he was banging it up or distributing as well? Like, it was almost...
He plays his best footy when he distributes. Yeah. We've seen him in the NRC and we know what he can do on his running game, but he actually plays better when he passes because he's always drawing in two defenders.
He's drawing in a couple and they get their interest and he plays out the back or have that little tip on. What's your rock?
My rock is the fact no one's to blame in this situation outside of COVID.
Being politically correct,
I'd Cobra Kai'd if I had a chance. Yeah. I'd rabbit chop it and do all sorts of things to it. Was the fact we couldn't have referees that were from another part of the world.
You're slagging off a Kiwi ref, Sean.
Absolutely,
we get it. We're on board.
Not, because this weekend, Angus Gardner's in the unfortunate position of trying to do the right thing but not go too far one way.
Yeah.
He's human. Paul Williams is human. Yeah. I would have got a ref from anywhere. I would have just gone to Fiji and said, who he wants to crack?
Would you?
Who wants to come?
Which is a random Fijian in
whoever wants to
Coral Coast just hanging out for the day.
Say, who's keen for a trip?
most of them would probably say, I am.
That's probably closest.
Then when you follow up and say, have you ever refereed? There's your problem, Sean. Most of them would probably say no.
At least there'll be no controversy around it, because there was a lot of controversial
and they're not
decisions.
Bringing COVID anywhere.
And no one was to blame for it. They've been COVID-free since forever.
Day one.
There was no cases, no clusters.
I'm going to go rock because you really drained this out picking two diamonds. I'm going to go the Wallabies line out. Mm. Again, it's an issue. It caused major problems on the weekend. We got away with it at times, but at test level, I really think there was calling issues and there was throwing issues. And a lot of it's combination and it takes time, but at test level, that's what we seem to... That was 4 years ago. We got that right for the World Cup. Our strength in the World Cup was actually... similar to the Brumbies over the last few years, our set piece, our line out, our maul, attacking defensive line out. It took a step backwards on the weekend and we're up against a very good defensive line out.
Look, my rock is less of a rock for me, more of a diamond, but it's a big rock for him. Rico Juani. that ball place or lack of ball placement. He's obviously watching too much NFL at this time of the year. Kind of got mixed messages about what he had to do when he crossed the line. But just as an outside back, you don't want to do all that work and then
imagine having him
going in at heart, because they were like, you know, they were looking at it so long, and then he had to do that long run back up the tunnel and then just go to your coach.
Imagine having him anytime try scorer like some guys in my punters club did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? True
There's
story.
A real
With the
issue,
issues,
yeah.
SM? Oh, no, it wasn't me, but there was some guys from this club, formerly at this club, who were not very impressed with
Rico. How is Pete Miller going?
Pete, Matt, Bob, the whole three of them.
Look, I think the only person, the most relieved person in the world was Falau Fainga. Like, what he did at the back of that line. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
It looked
that
bad. The referees, assistant referees thought it was knocked on, but it was just clearly one of those bobble balls. So, yeah.
Try to get it back,
come back.
Well, speaking of guys who've just had a crack, time to take you guys now around the globe via our social media. And we're going to kick it off in the Sheds post-game at the weekend. I love this. Wallabies and All Blacks coming together, a nice little bottle of something or other for hoops.
Yeah, Sam Kane didn't even know what it was, but he knew it was good.
Backline wine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It should have been. Yeah.
If there's one thing I like to chill down with, it's a backline wine, and hoops would be no different. So that was nice at the weekend. Caleb Clark with Bigger Ronnie.
Yeah.
What a power. Nice. Imagine the large food bill in that joint.
Yeah.
He was terrific when he came on too, Caleb Clark.
Yeah, probably could have come into the game earlier.
Yeah, he was straight away. Was just bulldozing blokes.
On debut, it was just a weekend of debuts. Lovely touch there from the Clark family and the extended friends and the rest of the crew. Nick White.
Is we wearing any pants there, Nick White?
It's questionable, isn't
questionable.
It?
Questionable.
Yeah. Hard to say, but yeah. Switching jerseys there with Aaron Smith. And now Scare Cam. I mean, this is just running rampant everywhere. That's Samu Karebi over in Japan getting in on his former Queensland Redskins. And Matt Giddo still running.
Are they playing in the grand final this week?
They're in the GF.
Gungahlin versus Vikings.
I think Royals.
Oh, Royals, is it?
Yeah, I think it's Royals, like Moorhead and Cusack and a few of those boys. But I don't think he's ever won the John Denny's. He's won a bit, but never the John Denny Cup.
He's done all right.
Yeah, when you're lining up trophies you want at the start.
To be honest, I spoke to Gitz this week, and whilst he's happy to be in the final, he's also unhappy that he's missing the Everest this weekend.
He's not happy with that photo either.
Yeah.
He made comment about it.
What's happening with the arms? He's actually got big arms.
It's so the angle.
It's the angle.
He's got big arms from up here to there.
Well, see, that's skinny my problem. That's my problem every week on this show. Camera
the angle.
Angles.
Yeah. Camera adds 40 pounds.
60 kilos on 60 this show. It's a 60 kilo arm.
Don't worry,
you're 190 kilos on this show.
On this show only. Quickly, post-game, sheds.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Who did you guys just have a beer with when it happened, when you crossed over? Who was the best bloke to have a beer with?
Tough question to answer on the spot. But look, traditionally in the Northern Hemisphere, you have a dinner with sides after the test matches.
Mm-hmm. Some loose dinners too. The Irish ones were always loose. I remember one time in Irish, Ronan O'Gara knocked the waiter and he had like a tray of like liqueur, like almost like cocksucking cowboys.
Guinness?
And also, and Sam Booker, like shots, because it was getting quite loose.
Irish
and it went all over my jacket that was in the back of my chair, right? And so the next day, you know, obviously I had a few that night. The next day I was really not feeling that well, but I had to put my suit back on to travel the next day, and all I could smell was liqueur and
cowboy
Sam Booker.
So you were just traveling licking your jacket the whole day?
No, mate, it was the last thing I wanted.
Ringing out of the back of the bus.
But, I mean, I think it's a good part of the game to be able to go in there, and it's also what separates rugby from other games where you can, as soon as you have that battle, you shake hands, you go in, you share a beer, you have a bit of a chat about... I'm sure that's talking about how hard the year's been with COVID and all sorts of different things. Probably the first time socially they've been able to speak to one another. I remember one time with Robbie, we were going in, but he said, look, we'll go in there and we'll talk to the guys, but no beers. I was like, mate, you can't do that. So, they were serving soup in like a takeaway cup.
Yeah.
So pour my beers in the soup cup. You've got to find a way.
Do you, Drew?
Well...
Yeah, Knuckles finally told us once that no one have a beer. We lost to Ireland, and in the corner, the coaches all having a beer, and players are standing there. Oh. It was like,
it's got to be one in all.
Yeah. But look, it's a great tradition. It's probably almost a little lost tradition. I think that's why people are loving seeing it on social media, is because we haven't seen it.
Because
these
guys will go at each other next Sunday. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, it'll have no impact in terms of how much they're going to go at each other's throat on the weekend. So it's good that they can separate on the field and off the field.
Guys, speaking of the weekend, time for the check-in. And this week, we're going to talk to one of the debutantes, Harry Wilson, who joins us on FaceTime. Harry, first off, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I've had a good, nice few relaxing days.
Talk me through it. You've got your first Wallaby test under your belt now. How was it?
Yeah, it was very special, I guess, to be able to represent the Wallabies for the first time. But, yeah, I loved every moment of out there and, yeah, pretty excited for next week.
Yeah, look, mate, I'm pretty sure you're going to get your second test this weekend. Tell me about the combination with Dalgunu down that right-hand side of the field. Looked really comfortable. You've obviously played a bit with him, but it was pretty successful early on.
Yeah, I guess I enjoyed, having Flippo outside me. I know it's a pretty simple job for me to try and get him the ball. So I guess it was quite good to get a few early touches and I guess get both of us involved early.
Well, Big Guy, I want to take my question back to before kick-off. I'm talking Harker. You're lining up against it. Who are you looking eyes with as you've got your whole family watching on back home, and what's going on in that massive melon of yours?
Yeah, quite a bit was going through my head, I guess. Singing the national anthem for the first time was pretty special. I was trying to belt it out. I got a bit carried away, and then Rabs kind of had to give me a nudge and say, slow it down a bit, but... facing the Haka, yeah, that was pretty cool, I guess. It was very, very loud and I couldn't really see anyone in my position, so I just looked at the closest person, which was Cody Taylor. So gave him some eyes, but don't think he really looked at me, that's for sure.
Harry, congratulations on your first cap. A big part of that process is receiving exactly that, your first cap. You got it from Dave Rennie in the dressing room after the game. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was really special to be able to get, I guess, my own little baggy green. It was nice to, I guess, get it from the coach, Dave, and he said a few nice words. So, yeah, it was really special.
Hey, Harry, crossing codes pretty quickly. You're a big Bunnies fan. They play in the prelim final Saturday night. Does that mean if they lose, it's going to get you more fired up to play the All Blacks the next day?
Well, if they win, it makes me happier and I guess it'll make me feel a bit more confident going into the game. So... hopefully they can get up against the Panthers and get in the grand final.
Harry, did anything surprise you when you first hit out against the All Blacks? And also, what did you learn from that game that you could maybe tinker with going into the return match this weekend?
I guess I had pretty high expectations. I guess I thought it was going to be a lot quicker and physical, a lot more physical than what I've played against, and it definitely was that. And I guess I probably learned how important, I guess, the breakdown is in test level. They have a lot of on-ballers and I guess pretty much the whole forward pack's on-ballers. So I guess that's probably the main thing, which I know this week is a major work on for all of us. And definitely take that in the next test.
And just to wrap it up, Big Guy, we saw post-game last weekend you pulling slips in for the real thing, putting a wet one on his cheek. Should you get the result this weekend, what kind of man love can he expect from you?
I think either way, slips will get a lot of love from me. He's already sick of me, so I love getting around him. But I know, yeah, if we can get a win this week, we'll definitely get a few hugs and kisses, that's for sure.
Harry, thanks so much for your time and best of luck to you and all the guys for the game at Eden Park on the weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to talk to Harry Wilson there. Guys, I want to talk about Jordan Petaia. He wasn't available for the first test. They've been quite cautious with him. Looks like now that he might be available for this weekend. Do you bring him in straight away? Someone like Hunter Paisami played so well on the weekend, which I guess maybe is the obvious sort of in-out situation for Dave Rennie to decide on. What would you do, Hoylesy?
Yeah, it's really a tough decision. I think you want to be able to reward performances, and even though it was only a draw, it wasn't a win, I thought Paisami was outstanding. Physically, he fronted up. He did exactly what we'd expect of him, but like all the other debutants, they just played like they'd been out there for 10, 20 tests. So I'd probably try and find a spot on the bench for Petaia, but at the same time, who do you lose? Who do you drop out?
I just think... Just because he's ready doesn't mean to say it's the right time to put him in. Like, the guy's had injury after injury after injury. Mm. Like, just because he's on the shelf now where you can actually select him doesn't mean to say that we should, I don't think.
But like, maybe he was last week and they gave him another week.
Yeah, perhaps. But I still even think, like, give him a bit more time because, I mean, every time as well, like, you must just think of the mental side of it for him. Like, there's so much expectation. Everyone, all of us, we talk about how good it is when he does play and then he gets injured again. And, you know, like, it has to be playing on his mind. So give him an extra week or two. The team that went out there on the weekend, they performed. Give them another opportunity to go out there and go one better. And then if there's injuries or someone that's maybe not in form in the next couple of games, then bring him in. But at the moment, I think you're making a change for the sake of making a change. I don't think you need to make that change.
But I also would like to, if I'm a coach, I'd like to be able to turn him with 10 minutes to go, because in every game I've seen him play, whether it be Reds or Wallabies,
he's
done something really well. He's scored a try.
There's no doubting how much of a threat he is, but
At the expense of potentially getting another injury? Like,
I think
just keep him on ice for another week or two.
Bench?
No, he's saying no, non-23.
Non-23, you've got bench.
Yeah, but I just want him in my 23, but at the same time, you can't leave Hodge out. And I know he only got 5 or 10 minutes, but he can kick it from 60.
That would mean Lolasio would drop out of that.
There you go.
Match day 23. Probably,
well,
yeah.
I mean,
you've got options
because
there.
Because you've got Tamura to shift.
Matt Higgins.
Yeah, it's Hodge or
And if it all goes really pear-shaped, then Hodge could potentially play 10 as well.
Yeah,
he's played a first row before at 10.
Yeah, okay. I would like to have assumed that he was touch and go for last week or good to go last week, and they said, mate, we're going to give you another 7 days because, absolutely, I would prefer to see him play in the fourth blood is low than the second. So if there's any risk at all, hold him back. But we don't get privy to that information, so who knows?
When you speak about guys who haven't got scars from playing against New Zealand, he just does not care.
No.
A lot of the young guys don't.
He is untainted by any of the previous results. He does not care.
Okay, from the All Blacks side, Broden Barrett, a late scratching for Bledisloe 1. Assuming he's fit for Bledisloe 2, where do you put him? Are you replacing Richie Mo'unga? Are you keeping Barrett in the 15 jumper? What are you doing there, Drew?
Look, for me personally, I don't think the All Blacks attack has been what it used to be when Barrett was at 10. I know over the last sort of 18 months or so, going to the World Cup last year, they've tried changing it around because Mo'unga's form at the Crusader level has been so good that he's forced his way into that 10 jersey, but they've shifted the world's best number 10, 2 years running IRB Pirate of the Year, at 10 to 15. And I just don't think it's worked as well as they would have liked. And for that reason, I would put Barrett back at 10 and then I would leave McKenzie at fullback.
Yeah, I think last year they had that decision to make because there was no Damien McKenzie. So they were like, okay, right, who's the next best 15? And that probably was Bowden, even though he's still the number one, number 10. I'm with Drew here. I'd go, I think the Wallabies would fear the All Blacks more if there was Bowden Barrett at number 10.
Do you think? Well, I think he's much more
of an attacking threat.
If we go back to that World Cup quarterfinal, Morgan was at 10 and dismantled Ireland. Through that World Cup, he was really strong.
You know what? You've got someone who we think is the best in the world at Bowden, and you've got the next best sitting behind him. But if you're asking our thoughts, we honestly think Richie sits a little bit below Bowden as number 10.
I think you're not getting anywhere near enough out of Bowden at fullback.
Okay.
Yeah. And when he's the best player in the world 2 years running, if you're not getting the best out of him, then you're not doing the best for
But you know
what,
New Zealand?
Team.
Keep him out of the 23. Go for it.
Yeah, some decisions for both coaches to make. Eden Park, we're going to talk about the hoodoo guys. 1986 is the last time that an Australian team has
this
won their Drew.
This is something that we spoke about at our old employees. We don't have to go there.
Why don't we have to go there?
Well, look, the good thing about it, look, there's obvious stats. It's a show that we haven't won there for a long time. There's nothing about Eden Park that makes it more difficult than anywhere else. It's just they play bloody well there. But the good thing about it is it's not Eden Park this weekend. It's Cooper's Catch Park. It's been named after a fish and chip shop in Kaikoura, who's been doing it a little bit tough through COVID. So we've never lost at Cooper's Catch Park.
What happens if we went over there? Like, imagine the backlash on the person who changed the name. Yeah. And took the hoodoo away.
Oh, mate, there's zero fish and chips being sold at Cooper's Catch Park.
I worry for them.
Yeah.
If things go
this is all meant to help them.
If things go pear-shaped. Yeah. They're doing it tough through COVID, as you touch on. Imagine how much seafood extender they're going to shift if they get a result this weekend. I mean, imagine how much they're going to get out the door.
I love a seafood stick. Oh, my God.
They do fish and chips well in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Seafood stick. Yeah, no, I mean, we're talking
scallops.
Record scallops.
You don't like they do a good seafood stick?
No.
Yeah.
It's not real.
That's called extender is probably best left navigated. But I understand it,
disagree.
They've got a whole range there in Kaikoura, in the South Bay on the South Island.
Scallops.
I'm a little bit lost. I'll be honest.
Could be a real breakout weekend.
Anyway, Eden Park is apparently tough to play.
So I was just going to say, the one thing that did jump out from the weekend was a line-out. How do they tinker and fix that inside 6 days?
What was impressive was the first line-out in the second half. You assume that Jeff Parling got a hold of them and said, look, it's not working, so let's try some variation, throw it over the back. They've got to come up with different options. It's so easy to say the line-out's not working, but to break it down into why it's not working, you've got to move them around as much as possible to throw uncontested. You've got to throw to a place where they aren't because they've got such good defensive line-out weapons in New Zealand.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but who would have been calling the line-outs in the weekend?
I think Matt Phillip was calling the line-outs.
Right, so
and again, it's a second test.
A young guy coming in.
And all those
and
combinations.
Maybe need that opportunity to be able to speak to
And it's
the
a
coach.
Big thing. Like, what you notice is Matt Phillips is calling line-outs and he's... Or Luke Arm was the other second row, but I don't think he was calling. But he's calling lineouts to Falau Fainga. They've never played together.
Yeah.
So all these things have a big flow-on effect. So that's why you see over the years
the combinations of a state hooker throwing with a state thrower.
Do you think that's why we see someone like a Rob Simmons on the bench that comes on and brings
Absolutely.
Experience, who can call lineouts
yep.
defensively, offensively, and just has that understanding of
yeah.
how to execute?
What I really didn't like about the whole lineout setup was, we talk about how many we lost. We didn't compete in the first four or five. We stayed down, which yeah. I found, I understand staying down at a certain end of the field to stop them getting a try and getting them all set up, but up the other end of the field, we gave them easy exits all the way through the field. So I think as time evolves, you'll see them get more confidence and start to compete in the air on their ball too.
It's a great dance at line-out time.
It is, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah.
Time to dive in to the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag brought to you by Extra Hop. Make sure you go visit extrahop.com.
Extrahop.com.
Very good at stopping breaches.
Oh, 84%
faster. So quick.
You're going to be on the payroll soon.
Stop you dead. What do you got for us?
We've got just Instagram questions this week exclusively from Gus Barnett, first off.
Gussie.
In honour of Rico, worst bombed tries you've seen. Go.
Oh, geez, that come to mind. A couple in the sevens. Actually, you see quite a lot of them in sevens. Remember there's a Japanese player that did the big swan dive, but the ball came out.
His name's Hashino-san.
Okay, and
it's
there's also
sad that I remember
some
that,
Samoan boys that went behind and went to like give his mate a try, but he passed it forward.
Forward pass, yeah. Yep. I'm going to go with Jeff Wilson versus George Gregg, and that was a bomb try. It was a great tackle, but it was also a bomb try.
Yeah, I'd be pretty upset with that.
I've got a pretty good one. This is from Super Rugby 2011. The Yoda, Greg Somerville.
For the Rebels at the time?
Up against, with the Rebels, up against the Reds, to come across and thought he was going to score. I think he's only ever Super Rugby try. Off short notice, I've got it for you. And this is something special. So it's Sippers going out the back at Suncorp. Fangers there at scrum half. Boom, away goes. In goes Yoda.
Oh, no. It's almost
this
like
is so good.
He knew if he scored that he's out of the front row as you knew.
Mate, it's outrageous. Look at him. He cannot believe what's happened,
he's
baby Yoda.
Himself.
I've never seen worse than that because he was actually across the line and then went back for it. We'll get a little sneaky replay in there for you. That's what we'll do for you. Here we go. Yeah. In he goes.
Oh, that's yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yoda.
That's pretty
bad. Yoda.
Man, next question, Luke.
Okay. What do you got? From Dublin Doggos. What is the worst tattoo you have seen on a player?
And where was it?
Great addition.
Yeah.
I've seen Steam's tattoo. Yours is pretty bad.
I've always been the top five worst tattoos.
Have you ever put it on camera?
No,
for
it's not on camera.
I've got
a tramp stamp on my back.
He's got a tiger tattoo.
Really?
Kids love it. Paid for itself.
It's four times over. It was done.
Does Lara like it?
Yeah, she loves it.
It's done before people were good at drawing. Like,
proper tramp stamp.
Like, it's not even like a good
tattoo.
But
having said that, I feel like I pioneered the tattoo industry. I did this just before schoolies. Jeez, I was cool up there. Melbourne on the Gold Coast.
Is a tiger girl like going, rah.
The worst bit is it's put next to a mole on my back, so it looks like a tiger's chasing a tennis
like a
ball.
Can we please see the tattoo?
Not seen the tattoo, Sean. Drew got a bad one too.
Yeah, I got a bad one. I got paper, scissors, rock tattooed in my ass as a young fellow with a bunch of mates. Like, we just, anyway, we had this little thing where we go on holidays and we'd have to get bad shit tattooed on us. So I was actually playing against Italy in a test match and I was tackled from behind and the guys like pulled my trousers down and my paper, scissors, rock is like, right there for everyone to see. But then he kept going and I always kept running and then it kind of came down at the front and I was like, okay, I can expose my papers is wrong, but not my that thing, you know.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So anyway, I just threw the ball away. That's pretty bad. But I've been through 8 sessions of tattoo removal, so it's not really there anymore.
Do you know, you talk other sessions?
Here's a good one for you.
Yeah, I've had a few of those.
Brett Sheen always had one of the worst. He had the Pamela Anderson barbed wire on the sleeve.
Right.
That was always up there.
You wouldn't tell that to his face, though, would you?
Definitely not.
The other one is Sean McMahon had bees.
Bees knees.
Tattooed.
Yeah. Actually, you know, when on my tour with Shawnee, he got, maybe Wales. And on his midriff, which is, look, Shawnee likes to enjoy himself, so he's never really that lean around his sort of muffin area. He had happy hour in cursive writing because that's where he earned that midriff, right? He's in the happy hour on the beers. But he got in cursive writing and we're like, bro, why did you get happy how? Like, you know, because it looked, the U into the R looked like a W with a little like, you know,
no regrets.
On the end. Yeah.
And anyway, regrets.
He'd take his shirt off for recovery and be like, oh, the happy how.
Well, there's been some bad tattoos over the years. It's a good question, Lou.
It is.
You got one?
No, definitely not. What did you think that answer was going to be?
We just don't know, do we?
A butterfly or a dolphin or something?
No tramp stamp.
No tramp stamp.
Thanks to everyone that sent questions in for the mailbag. Really appreciate it. Keep them coming as we go through this Bledisloe and Rugby Championship period. Guys, before we finish up, predictions for the weekend, Bledisloe 2.
Wallabies by one more point than the All Blacks.
Wallabies by three.
I'm going another draw.
How many minutes into extra time?
He's backed this. He's found a lucrative odd.
248.
I'm going to go the same as last week, five. Wallabies by five.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, it will be.
Can't wait.
Sundava?
Oh, baby.
Yeah. See you for Shoot Shield.
You will.
On the weekend. Looking forward to that. That follows on after Bledisloe in Australia.
We're wall-to-wall on the weekend.
Yeah.
Back to back.
So much. Sean Maloney, thank you. Stephen Hoyles, thank you so much. Drew Mitchell, thank you for your company. Thanks for your company, wherever you're watching or listening. We're a podcast as well, so get around that. We'll see you next time.
Go Wallabies.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.